This week on RSBNB Update, Community Hit List Part 2 is here with changes to Overload, Familiars, Runecrafting, Zamorak, and the Ore Box. We also discuss this week's graphical updates, Vorkath, and the ensuing Vorkath Hunt event. This is RSBNB Update, episode 961, recorded Thursday, November 16th, 2023. The Overloaded Community Hit List. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Just Tanis and myself here this week to enjoy some Lumbridge Sewers. Or sorry, not Lumbridge Sewers. God damn it. Varrock Sewers and Edgeville Dungeons graphical updates. And the community hit list heard around the world, I think, is probably the best way to describe this one, based on some of the things that were in here. But welcome, Tanis.
Thank you, Shane. And you're bearing the lead. It's part deux.
Yeah. You're right about that, but somehow I think that these ones in part two are hitting more than the ones in part one did based on what's in there.
Exactly. Just like part deux.
Yeah, and that's why we're going to put them second after the Dungeons and Sewers, because we're going to keep burying the lead on this episode of RSBNB Update. That's something we do each and every week, but I feel like it just kind of makes sense to do it this week because the graphical updates are there, and you know we can see those before we can actually see the community hit list for the most part. But nonetheless, I'm going to start off by thanking our experienced here Patreon members, for which RSBNB Update would not be possible without them. So I'd like to thank Amos Reed, Andrew C, Drama Free, Jason S, Jesse W, Keski, Ricky A, Rippeth, Runestar, and the Naked Captain. Big huge thank you to these people for just supporting RSBNB Update in such a way that these guys really do make up a significant portion of what makes the podcast go, and we are eternally grateful for that. But before we begin, I'll just say that if you want to follow along, you can find full show notes at update.show. You can also join our community Discord at update.show/discord. And the friends chat is Bits Bytes for people who are, yeah, it works across both games, for people who might be playing something called Leagues, and for people who, of course, are playing RS3 as well. And you can find me in game at chain12088, and Tanis is at Tanis79. So, Mod Black Witch and team strike again, this time with the Edgeveal Dungeon and the Varrock Sewers, as well as the Polymniach Slayer Dungeon for graphical updates this week. And, you know, they hit the mark with these again, and this is one thing I feel like we always have to talk about with these updates. It's how do you remain faithful to something, but also update something that's been in the game since 2001? That's the question that comes up.
Well, what it brought up to me was, you know, you want to freshen up these older areas, these areas that you don't really interact with as a high level player.
Yeah.
And that just showed me the need for seasonal type events or things where you're going through the game again, so you can enjoy all this effort and all this work that's even been put into
And I think that's probably something Fresh Start Worlds has told them, is that, you know, these dungeons are somewhere, like you said, that probably sees very little foot traffic day by day for people who are well established. But for, you know, people who are just beginning their RuneScape journey, or for people who are, you know, starting a second account, these dungeons do play a pretty big part of the game. And we learned that with Fresh Start, and I think that was probably one of the most underappreciated lessons that came from it, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm glad that these areas are getting love, because they're some of the first areas I remember, you know, they're some of the first dungeons you're kind of interacting with. And you know, always Varric Sewers is kind of cool. I mean, I cussed it a lot. Ratcatcher, anybody remember?
I gotta go back to our faces for the reaction for that one.
But it's nice to see something like that, you know, getting some love.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's a question, like I said, about being faithful to the original. And you can definitely see that, you know, it's like the same dungeon map. It's just, you know, that the assets and whatnot have been updated and there's a good lighting pass over it. You know, I know this is a feature that we wouldn't have seen a long time ago, but there's actually the waterfall inside the dungeon from what I presume is probably from one of the sewers, just, you know, landing in there before you get into the actual sewery portion of it. That's done really well. And, you know, we're also seeing a general theme in this area too, in that the lighting that we see here, and maybe this is just because it's a modern take on the dungeon, or another thing I was thinking, you know, you compare this to something even like Sentistan's Asylum, right? The asylum is dark and creepy and whatnot, but there's a whole lot more ambient light in the Edgeville dungeon and the sewer. And I think what that does for us is it also lights the way, so to speak, for people who are new to the game, because I don't know necessarily that having people run through, you know, the darkest dungeon of Varrock would probably, you know, be the best idea, or the Varrock sewers with that, right?
No, it's not fun.
Right. And you know, that's another thing that, you know, you take the dungeons, the public dungeons, for example, in a game like ESO, they're all very dark, except for the areas around where there's a boss or something like that. But there's still those ads and whatnot that you're going to run up against when you're in that dungeon. Whereas what we're seeing here in the Varrock sewers and Edgeville dungeon right here is that, you know, there's still enough ambient lighting that somebody who wants to, you know, go down there and train on, say, skeletons or the rats, what have you, you're still going to, you know, have an okay time doing that with the lighting that's there. So I think that conveys, and I don't know if this was intentional, and if it's not, well, this was a job well done, because it really just opens it up more to, you know, I think the newcomer experience, and that, you know, you don't necessarily need to worry about it being, you know, pitch black and worrying about making sure you're going to, you know, be able to figure out where you're going at the end of the day there. So I think that's something that was done really well with the rework on the Varrock and Edgeville side. So, and I didn't plan to say that coming into the show. I'm just realizing it doing my run through for the camera right now though. So, but
yeah, I thought they looked really well, and I hate to be getting used to it right now, but it's like Mod Black Witch just always knocks it out. So
yeah,
you know, like, so.
And what I'm also wondering at this point in time, I know these graphical projects reworks started as game jam projects. So I'm wondering now, you know, given the fact that now we're going to be seeing Fremenic, we've seen some dungeons and sewers, I'm wondering now if this is actually going to be a fully, you know, spec'd out project going forward that they're working on, because I know the first batch of them really just started on Game Jam only, and that kind of, you know, speaks volumes about where we're at if they've been sanctioned to continue on like that. So
yeah, it would be great. I mean, I think it's a good use of development time, and there's some areas that I can't wait to see get this treatment, and it gives RS3 a uniformity that and consistency that the other game has.
That's a good point. And I think what that comes from is that, you know, it's from a number of years of, you know, just the way things are going, being disjointed. between the various graphical styles compared to, you know, 08, 2012, 2015, mm-hmm. 2023, so on and so forth. But another one that I'm not going to show live in game, but was done, was the Polyvnich Smoke Slayer dungeon for people who go do Slayer down there. And once again, mid-level content. And this mm-hmm. also, like the other ones, really conveys that, you know, hey, you're kind of underground in a desert dungeon, something like a crypt that you might expect to find in Egypt or something like that. So, you know, just really well done all across the board. So, round of applause goes out for that. So, right on. Which one's your favorite out of the three? Edgefield Dungeon, Sewers, or Slayer Dungeon?
It's probably between Sewers and Polyvnich, but...
That's kind of where I was going to go, because the Sewers really conveys a sewer feeling, if that makes sense. But the Slayer Dungeon at the same time really needed it and looks like an entirely different area in a good way.
Yeah. So, like, I'm kind of torn. Probably the Sewers, just because there's a little bit of nostalgia there, too. So, I kind of... There's that. But Polyvnich was, like, it... To me, it showed, like, how the lighting stuff had advanced and how, like, just the way that they're doing this, like, it's...
You know what the funny part is about the Slayer Dungeon is that this came out at a time when I, you know, had passed that as a level, and I never really actually killed anything there until I went for comp and had to kill the four bosses down there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So...
It's, you know, not a Slayer person.
Well, yeah, I guess not, yeah.
So, but well done to Black Witch and team on another wonderful round of graphical updates. But like you said, bearing the lead, Community Hit List Part 2.
Part 2.
Part 2.
You gotta say, you keep missing.
Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq, six, sept, huit, neuf. Dix.
I thought it was a movie reference.
No, I mean, it could be, but that's just how you count to two in French.
Why would it not surprise me that you wouldn't get the movie reference?
I don't.
Hot Shots?
No.
Hot Shots Part 2?
No. Oh, is that like when really? We do, is that like when we do Hot Ones Part 2, or?
No. It was like,
That's still there, people, by the way. If we get to 500, we are doing Hot Ones.
Yeah.
On video now.
No, it's one of those spoof movies from back in the day that was kind of like spoofing Top Gun and Rambo.
And see, that's the thing.
It was Charlie Sheen.
One, yeah. I don't like spoof movies. Two, I don't like Charlie Sheen. Moving on. I don't. All right, click boxes have been reduced on the runes in Phase 7 of the Zamorak fight, and the Infernal runes will no longer explode on contact in Phase 7 if you defeated him during the Infernal Tomb. And this is honestly something people have been talking about for Zamorak Phase 7 since launch week. So, a little bit overdue. Nice to finally have it here.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good. You remember once a time there was a bug that let people skip to the end of Elite Dungeons 1 and 2 and 3 to fight the boss?
I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. And then they made that a feature in Elite Dungeon 4 with Zamorak, but you needed 25 kills. Now you only need one.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But boy, didn't they slap the hell out of people that were...
Oh yeah, people got 2 week vacations for that.
That's what I thought, and then now you just get it
for free. Yeah, I know. That's what I was saying. And the way they did this is that you need to previously unlock the Conqueror of Chaos achievement. And what this also had the benefit of doing this week is if you have your one Zamorak kill, they just changed that number from 25 to 1. You now also unlock the Chaos Witch outfit this week if you have a Zamorak kill. And that's something that is a very wonderful fashionscape item, specifically around the Halloween season that we were just at. And before Halloween, I was thinking, I kind of wish I had this for Halloween, but lo and behold, here we are. Now I have it.
I'll have it next for next year, I guess.
Next year.
Yeah.
So there's that. And I do want to say, my thinking has kind of evolved on this too over the past year and a bit since this came out. And before it was being talked about, these changes about this. And based on how bosses work in the game, obviously there would need to be changes done to Siryu, the Blackstone Dragon, and the Ambassador. But I'm just thinking now, well, why not let all of the Elite Dungeon end bosses just be fought at will after you've killed them once with this at this point? Like I said, obviously drop tables and whatnot might need to be balanced for the previous three, but if we're doing this for ED4, why not just do it for the other three as well? Rebalance the drop tables for the people who are going to be, you know, farming the living daylights out of it, and just, you know, make a level of consistency that, you know, these are key pieces of content, like keystone pieces of content, and, you know, you might just want to, you know, go fight Ambassador or BSD or Siryu, right? Why not?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I go sometimes to an Elite Dungeon if a friend needs a run or you know, there's a Dungeoneering token farm going on, that sort of thing.
Yes.
But I just, you know, aside from that, I just don't go. And it's probably just not my kind of PBM, and that's probably why I don't. So, but.
Yeah, I mean, I've only ever token farmed, well, XP farmed a little bit
one yeah. time.
But that's gone. But yeah, so I could only really see myself maybe token farming if I needed to ever again. But yeah,
fair enough. Fixed an issue with the extra button in the Zamorak boss fight so that there's now a small cooldown to prevent spam teleporting, as this would prevent players from teleporting back to the original coordinates, so it would basically go left right and back between the main boss arena and the other lair. And they also added a fix to prevent Zamorak's Infernal Tomb attack from teleporting the player if they were already in Infernus. So that was there. But one of the biggest patch notes of the week, and maybe patch note of the year at this point, Rune Essence pouches now autofill in presets that contain a type of essence they can fill with. When this is triggered, the Rune Ethereal outfit will also try and fill. And added a swap for the two types of massive pouch, active and inactive, to the preset function so that they swap if you have a preset of one type but only have the other type.
That's really cool for the runecrafters out there. I mean,
yeah. What you would previously have to do is you would just have, you know, like a runecrafting preset, and you would effectively, you know, load it four or five times. After, you know, filling all the pouches and filling your outfit, and then away you go. Whereas this is just, you know, one load. And
yeah.
I remember even before bank presets that, you know, this was a way of, you know, maximizing how many runes you could make an hour. But no, it's all just done here right now. And, you know, I guess this is just, maybe this is just a little bit of relenting and saying, okay, it's 2023. People are going to, you know, get rune crafting to 99 or 120 by either doing the rune span or the soul runes, or running through the wilderness with PvP on, that we really don't need to have this kind of bottleneck in here to slow down rune crafting. I think that's probably the realization that was made on here, is that, you know, hey, it's 2023. We're trying to make things easier in game to, you know, lessen the friction, but it still requires from A to B.
I think that it was finally, they finally decided it was time that they could turn the faucet on a little bit more after trying to make the runes more valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was just a way to get more runes, I think, out there through doing it the way that they intend it to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, and I'd imagine this would also, you know, increase the profit per hour on RuneCrafting, which of course is a thing that we always have to bring up when this sort of thing comes in. So that's fun.
You and your RuneCrafting. You're still not. I'm not doing it. But you and your RuneCrafting.
It's been a long time since I have. I have a far simpler methods of making money now that I don't need to. But still, for people leveling up, fire runes, water runes, and whatnot, just look at the tables and you can see what's going to be your best bet. All right, another two big ones. Familiars will no longer despawn on death, and persistent potion effects like overloads no longer clear on death.
Dude, do you know how many familiars I lose?
Oh, I know!
I just all the time. I mean, because I die. I die often, and a lot, when I try to fight things.
Oh, yeah, that's what learning Raziel was like. And I'm glad that we had, you know, a PVM week for me to kind of, you know, refine the thing, because I lost count at the number of Reavers I lost.
It was like the best thing when we had that. I think the last time we had a free death week.
That was in September after, you know what?
Necromancy.
No. No, the thing that starts with an H.
Anyway. Yeah, we got that. Moving on. Free death week. But I'm pretty sure our familiars stayed alive because
we were just taken to our most recent hub in that case.
Yeah, because that's when I was trying to do the kiln, and I know I lost a few familiars trying to remind myself how
the
to
most
do
the
that.
Most annoying part of dying with a familiar is that if you're using a beast of burden, that beast of burden appears and dies in Death's office, and this stack of food goes on the floor, and you know there's no timer on it, so somebody can just, you know, go and steal it from you.
Which I never find my food.
Yeah.
So I lose an inventory of food every time.
And you know, thinking about it now, both these things should have been part of the Death rework earlier this year.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess the only thing with that is how much time would it have added to getting it out? I probably would have waited, but just how much are we talking? A week? Right. 2 weeks?
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, because, you know... I feel like that making these two changes here are what you do to make it so that, you know, say to somebody, hey, you take this, you know, tier 80 gear, you take one weapon, and you take your potion set, and away you go, and your death costs are going to be like, you know, 20-odd K. And you don't need to worry about losing familiars and potion effects. And I feel like those two things... in addition to the death cost, really do a service for people who are wanting to learn PVM. So, well done on those ones.
Oh, this is candidate. For me, this is patch note of the year.
I like the essence pouch is better.
Yeah, and then the familiar, I've just lost so many of them.
The Grand Exchange search bar will now reset after confirming the buy offer. This has been something that's been a little bit annoying for a little while, and it's good that it's now fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. The spawn location of the enriched memory has been moved in the incandescent colony to help with interacting with these memories. While the area is incredibly busy, the spawn has shifted its location, and they will monitor the outcome of this change. So, I assume this is largely only a problem on the divination world.
That would make sense, because that's where everyone's trying to spawn the... Yeah.
Okay. Tier 92 Elite Serenic and Tectonic now degrades to a broken state rather than degrading to dust. About time on that.
I mean, and here's another candidate. They put all the candidates
right here. Because right now, and people can question if it's worth this much. Right now, it costs 916 mil to make a set of Elite Serenic. Mm. 916 mil. Compared to 7.1 mil for the regular Serenic, which is tier 90 versus tier 92. So you better be dedicated to ranged to go for Elite Serenic if you were doing it before.
Well, one of these days we'll have another one of these math guys that can. I need to see the case for why on earth, how much of a difference can it possibly make? It's got
to
be
about 2 to 3%. It's about 2 to 3%, and then going to tier 95, it's another 2 to 3% beyond that, right? So it becomes a question of, you know, when do you want this? And obviously, if you're pushing, you know, kill times, if you're really needing to get mechanics in, you go for every little bit that you can get. But at some point, your own personal skill is going to come into it as well. And that's why up until Necromancy, I was always good with just settling, you know, with tier 90 armor. Because that's also what drew me to range. The fact that Serenic at the time for tier 90 was so damn cheap.
Yeah, I mean, 5% is 5%. Don't get me wrong, but it just seems like that is an extreme price difference for 5%. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Just
yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, I can't figure out what the equivalent would be.
Yeah, I don't think there is one. I think your closest bet would probably be Tony's Medic.
Yeah. Yep. That is a good, actually, that's a good comparison.
And course, Tony's Medic is multiple, is way more than, you know, 900 mil, but it's the same general idea.
Yeah. Same kind of idea. Yeah. That's why I was trying to figure out, you know, what an expensive item that only marginally helps.
And there's going to be a push on bringing the price of ranged armor, specifically at the top, down with Vorkath next week, and we'll see that when we go through the rewards. So hopefully Elite Serenic will come down. Fingers crossed.
I'm curious to see if people use it over the Serenic. Do you think that's...
I don't know. It's going to depend on where people land with the sets, but we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. You can also now store stone spirits in the ore box. Couldn't do that before.
Maybe not quite candidate for patch of the year, but really good patch note, because we wanted this when the wood box came in, and the wood spirits could go in the wood box, and we're like, oh, why can't our stone spirits do this? That would be great. Now we can. Yay.
I'm in a bit of an interesting position with this one, because you can use this as a bank space saver, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, do you put all of your stone spirits in your ore box and keep them there? Do you do that? Or do you keep them in your bank and only bring out the ones that you're mining into the ore box? Because then you're in a situation where you're choosing with that, either you want to keep the placeholders in your bank for when you get them from a drop or a Saren Spirit or something like that, or you're going to just be, you know, over time again, amassing a collection of stone spirits in your bank that are going to, you know, in effect take up space there. So I'm kind of two minds about this. If I, you know, just kind of want to reserve the bank space so that I have slots, so that when I, you know, get loot from an NPC, or when I get a Saren Spirit, the stone spirit goes directly where it's supposed to be. Because as it is right now, if you get a stone spirit or you, you know, dump some stone spirits into your bank, and if they're in your ore box, they'll still take up a bank space. They won't go directly into the ore box, which I'd imagine would be a more complicated thing to implement. So I'm kind of two minds about that.
Yeah, I mean, I would, you know, I'm definitely loading up the ore box. That being said, once I put in the stone spirits that I might actually use, then everything else is trashed anyway. So
I keep everything, as people have seen with my bank.
Yeah, see, you know, if I get some coal stone spirits, I don't need that shit. That's not gonna help me at
all. You never know. You might decide to go mine coal one day.
No,
what if they add that into a way of, you know, generating power for your invention machines?
That would be shame in the goddamn coal.
hey, we use natural gas here.
Well, at least it ain't coal. But I mean, their bank space is at a premium, man. Like, it's
I meant like 1,200.
It's at a premium.
I meant like 1,200 out of 1,420.
I literally have to find stuff to get rid of before I can get more stuff. Like every time, there's times that I can't do a preset because I have to figure out what's getting tossed. Like it's terrible.
Okay. And then the last one from the community hit list: Calgarian Demon Familiar Improvements. The scroll effect will now apply to other players around both the Calgarian Demon and the player, and the scrolls can be auto-fired. And for people who are needing a refresher of what the familiar's scroll does, it's called Critical, which gives the player, familiar, and other players within a 7x7 area centered around the center of the Calgarian Demon, and now the player, the Calgarian Roar buff, which grants a 5% critical hit chance for 60 seconds.
Damn, I wonder if, like, does that mean, like, maybe one person in a group boss fight is going to be start carrying a Calgarian for that added crit chance?
Yeah. And, you know, it's been like that for a while that it does that since it came out, but now it's around the player too, in case the demon's off, you know, somewhere else. So you got, you know, multiple 7x7 grids going on there. So that's really good, especially when we look at things like necromancy and the like. So
yeah.
In terms of how their crit works. So. And then the last patch note of the week, the logout timer has been increased by 5 minutes for all players with membership, and you get also the existing 5 minute increase if you have a Jagex account, so those two stack and you get 15 minutes now. I know there was some fear before we got this announcement this week that it looked like the 5 minute logout timer would be bundled with Premiere, and based on what we saw with that other certain update, they didn't go that way, and I think everybody's a little bit happier about that now. So
equal timer for all.
Yeah. As you know, what the funny part about this is that if you have Runelite and you play old school, you can, you know, choose your own logout timer for however long you want.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Dude, I love Runelite. God, where is Runelight for RS3? Where is it? I want it. Like, I need it.
It's an interesting dynamic to walk, because there's things that client does that are very powerful, and a lot of people upon visiting old school are like, "Oh, I can't believe this is a thing," but like you said, it's giving you text to speech for your chat box there.
Mouth over text. Like, I, dude, that was the whole thing. Like,
that was the whole reason.
The whole key that opened, like, literally opened the door to OS. Like, I just couldn't really play it before. Like, this, it was literally the key.
Yeah. Like, but just imagine where you would be if Jagex said, "Okay, community, have at it. Build an open source RuneScape 3 client.
It'd be pretty. Yeah, I hate to think of the possibilities because I'm, like I said, I'm super impressed with the way things work.
Yeah, but at the same time, that makes something like this and the Jagex account unlock for membership timer or logout timer rather. That makes it something that you know would have to be a no-go zone for the any potential official, unofficial rather RS3 clients. So,
yeah, and I mean whatever, like. You know, right now you can use different, you can use those different clients through the Jagex client, right? Like yeah. you just pick which one you want. Yeah. So I wouldn't see why it couldn't work the same way, but
yeah, and it would have
and, to, I, and whatever logout timer. Look, it's cool.
It would be a bigger issue than people would have made it out to be. I think the areas where you would have had the most benefit on that would have been things like your waterfall fishing, right?
Yeah, and I think that you have to, this is what I don't understand, okay? And maybe I'm just an idiot, but we're increasing the logout timer. Okay, great. In theory, you could kind of AFK for longer, maybe, but you still have to click. Like, so I don't. You still have to interact, and if you're interacting, you're never going to log out anyway. So, I don't know.
And
is it like that big of a deal?
I'm glad we don't have to have this debate in earnest about whether or not it's a pay-to-win benefit, because it's going out to anybody now who wants it by either being a member or having a Jagex account.
Yeah, I mean, this is... I mean, that's great. It's probably not some, see, I could see why they thought, because it doesn't seem to be a pay to win thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
then again,
but that's a different perspective based on whoever you talk to.
Yeah. And it's just, well, it's just safer.
And it's how it comes across. Better. It's how it comes
exactly.
across.
Exactly. So it's just better to give it to everyone so that there's a buy-in into even doing it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm going to thank some Patreon supporters. This week, I'd like to thank Alvaro L., Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Chubura, Chunk the Monk, Dominic R., Drama Free, Dura Max, Free Milk, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jeebus, Jason S., Jesse W., Keski, Ling01, Nate the Great, Nick G., Pernasius, Renhawk, Ricky A., Rippeth, Runestar, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirtpants, Tabby, The Naked Captain, The Davin Goat, Tim, Tom V, Ukulele Steve, Zant, and Zazicon. Big, huge thank you goes out to all of these people for making RSBNB Update possible. Of course, we mentioned the experienced tier members earlier in the broadcast as those people really make the podcast go, but this is the time where we say thank you to everybody who help support RSBNB Update, because you know we get to do so many fun things with your support. We're going to be putting up right after the show. Actually, I'm going to be putting this up for Patreon members. There's going to be a poll. It's going to be a mega poll for the next 2 monthly bits, because December always gets hectic. So we're pulling December and January at the same time, and this is the last shot to vote on things that we voted on earlier this year that might not have made it through. And then we're going to throw that everything out that was put on that sheet from this year and start fresh next year again for monthly bits. So the monthly bits are our monthly bonus show that talk about one subject in depth for about an hour or so. And last month we talked about skill guilds and the discussion on Slayer, which I think turned out to be a good discussion despite initially... You know, feeling like, okay, are we going to, you know, talk about why Slayer exists, or are we going to talk about ways to improve it? And I think we got a chance to talk about both on the show. So if that sounds interesting to you, you can listen to that for $1 a month. We also have tier lists as well about dailyscape, skills, bosses, years of updates in RS, so on and so forth. We have holiday events. We have legacy combat. We have discussions on Iron Man and the player mod system. So many things going back now in an entire catalog that is really its own podcast. on its own. You get access to that for as little as $1 a month, and you also get a mention in our show notes and the satisfaction of helping support the cost for hosting and production of the podcast. We also have our VIP rank for $3 a month, where you'll receive a VIP rank on Discord, chat channel access, and a mention on the podcast at the start of the month, as well as high-quality stereo versions of the show, in addition to everything else. And we also do have the Insider tier for $5 a month, where you receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week, and gain access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show. But also, since we're heading into December right now, anybody who is an experienced tier Patreon member will receive the RSBNB update Christmas card in December. And I'm showing right now on screen three of the of our past cards that we did. Just a bit of a sample in the way that goes. So if this sounds interesting to you, you want a Christmas card from your favorite podcast, sign up. You have until December 1st, patreon.com/RSBNB. You do have to sign up for the insider tier, $5 a month for that, just because of the shipping costs. And well, if we opened it up to everybody, quite honestly, I would be spending all of December sending cards out, putting stamps on envelopes and licking envelopes. So we're limiting it a bit to the $5 a month one, but still, nonetheless, lots of people are going to be getting Christmas cards this year. And if you want a Christmas card from your favorite podcast, sign up at patreon.com/RSBNB. You have to be signed up by December 1st, because that's when I aim to have most of them going out, specifically to far parts of the world. We try and get those out by the first week of December, just to make sure that they arrive in time. But patreon.com/RSBNB, and doing this Christmas card is always something that I look forward to each and every year. So big, huge thank you to all of our Patreon members who let us do everything from the monthly bits, the roundtables, the, you know, just the individual discussions we have, and here even the Christmas card at the end of the year. But thanks so much, everybody. Patreon.com/RSBNB.
Thanks.
All right. Bit of a behind the scenes tease right now. Actually, we just chose our card template that we're going to be going with for for this year, and it needs to be it just needs to be finalized now. But that's kind of where we're at with that, and why that worked its way into the Patreon spot this week of all other weeks. So, all right, Premier Club was also refreshed for the 2024 season. I don't know that there's much really to say on this, aside from the fact that it's going to be cheaper than other membership offerings, unless you are on the $5 a month plan.
Yes, and now that I was the last holdout to get Premier, and as soon as I started getting it, I haven't stopped. So
yeah, you got 100 extra bank spaces with it. You were kind of mentioning that you need those.
Yes. And I have had Premier run out, not realizing what the timing was, and ran out of those bank spaces. Not pretty. It's not good when that happens.
No. You also get the yearly cosmetic armor piece as well. This year it's the Radiant Crusader armor, as well as the Radiant Crusader Death Guard and Lantern set, themed into Necromancy, of course, and the Radiant Crusader Drake. So, more Necromancy cosmetic overrides there. The 12, and you were wondering, we were talking about this before show, what's the difference between, you know, buying it for 12 months versus one or six? Well, it's the number of reward tokens and loyalty points that you get, but also it's only the 12-month bundle that gets a month of daily double keys for that. So
I see.
Okay. Yeah. And also it's purchased as an add-on for your membership, because it says membership access no for the 6 month and 1 month bundle. So you're purchasing it in addition to your membership. So it's more of like an upgrade to it, if that makes sense. So
kinda. I found it confusing.
Yeah. Honestly, the 6 and 1 month bundles are confusing in terms of the fact that, you know, you kind of have to read into it to see that you need the membership already for that. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, honestly, if you can afford to get the year, that's always the one I would go for anyway.
Yeah. I never use my, I never use the VIP World chat badge or Premier Vault Access. I never use those ones.
Dude, I may have used the vault about 3 times this year, and I always get mad when I'm like, oh crap, I haven't been to the vault. And I've literally remembered to do it a handful of times.
And I'd be interested to see what the stats on that look like, because it's not something people talk about that much, right?
Well, it's XP, Shane, so you know it's one of those things that everybody does, but they don't necessarily share. You know, it's kind of like them dirty little things that go on,
right?
Go on behind right. closed doors.
Also, there is something that's not joining us this year on this list. There is no commitment to doing something like a Yak Track going forward, since that is gone, and obviously Hero Pass is gone too. So that's something that was, you know, part of Premier for the last number of years, but that is kind of avoided out now.
Yeah. And my guess is...
And I mean, if something like, let's imagine they just rework Yak Track, right? Mm-hmm. They just put it on Premiere and people who have it would benefit.
If they come up with something, I could see it definitely being added to Premiere, right? Like them just saying, oh, well, Premiere members will have access to this. That being said, I don't see that happening anytime soon, because they can't seem to figure out what the player base is willing to accept and what they actually want when it comes to that. So we ain't having that anytime soon.
And that's an unfortunate problem to be in.
Yeah.
Really unfortunate. So. Yeah, I don't think I have much else left to say on that one in that, you know. Oh, there was one other thing. You can't buy it with bonds this year.
Yeah. That's rough. I feel bad. Because, you know, I mean, what if you didn't have much money, but you're really good at RuneScape, right? Like, ah.
Yeah.
And I always felt like a bond is a bond, right? Like, the money was spent, so it doesn't matter.
Well, like, no, remember what we talked about money. in that bonds don't show up on the balance sheet until they're redeemed.
Yeah, but this would be a good time. I mean, that would be a good thing to have them redeem.
And I think that's why they're doing those bond sales we talked about last week, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, let us know if that's something that that bothers you, because I know, for example, Thaxi has bought his membership for, you know, last like 4 or 5 years with just bonds with Premier Club.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got it 2 years in a row from bonds, and, well, I mean, I didn't, but I had friends that hung out at the Sand Casino, so they just were buying people Premier membership, right? Like, because they just they could do that. But.
You know? Oh, imagine how the Sand Casino betting would go now if with the Max Cash update.
Oh man, bring it back and tax it.
No gambling.
Let it ride. Come on, Daddy needs a new pair of shoes.
Oh my!
It was exciting.
All right. They're also, you remember last week we had our behind the scenes for what the rest of the year was going to look like, right? Mm-hmm. They're taking that one step further. Everybody got a flyer in their inventory when they logged in this week that effectively showed the content we can expect going forward. And what they have done is they have turned the Berthorpe area already into Christmas mode with the Christmas skybox. So nice to see that again. And just a bit of a preview about what's going to be on the way for the coming weeks.
Dude, there's something going on. And I don't know what it is. But everyone seems to want to start doing Christmas now, early.
Oh, yeah.
Like my daughter did a PowerPoint presentation like 2 weeks ago why we should start decorating for Christmas. I'm like,
right after Remembrance Day and Veterans Day is okay in my view. And if I'm being honest, the Christmas stuff is going up this weekend here.
You know, I just think, I don't know, like maybe we just need it. We just want Christmas.
Yeah. And I mean, like,
family time.
Like Vorkath, Battle of Forenty, Vorkath, Guard and Lantern Hunt, Combat Beta, Community Hit List, Environmental Refreshes, Tech Updates. And then you click on each one of these and it says, check out new updates to our tech. Experience RuneScape with richer colors thanks to new specular lighting updates, features such as improved interface and game resolution scaling and more. Christmas Village will be in game 27th of November through January 3rd, and it's in effect a preview of what we're going to be getting this Christmas season, and it's got effectively a nice graphic showcasing where we are on the left here at Vorkath time, all the way over to the Christmas Village side on the right-hand side.
Yeah. It's just a cool little
extra. Yeah, it is. It is. It's basically an in-game version of the behind-the-scenes post we got last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like that. And like we said last week, more of this, please. More behind-the-scenes posts.
Yep.
All right, good. Next up on the agenda, Black Friday sales. For anybody who has some money jingling around in their pockets that they want to spend on RuneScape, including on the menu, a new bank bundle, which includes 50 bank spaces, three new bank presets, available from November 17th through the 24th.
Seriously considering
one bond that. For members, two bonds for free to play.
Seriously considering that one.
Yeah. That's a big one. Also, bank boosters are going to be on sale as well. During that time period, the Necromancy Founders Pack, which had the Death Shroud Cave, the River of Souls Aura, Solus the Companion Pet, three titles, and a month of membership, also on sale from the 13th to the 24th.
That Founders Pack?
Yeah.
I was pretty sure when I looked at that, it said you had to be a non-member. Which really bummed me out.
Founders Pack plus one month membership bundle for non-members only. I think you can get it. I know when Necromancy came out, I got the Founders Pack, and it was able to be given without the membership on it. So maybe you only get the membership if you're not already a member. We'll have to wait and see where that lands, or if that's a 1 month thing. But even then, there's a case, you know, saying, hey, you want to fight Vorkath? Hey, you want to do the Christmas event? Hey, come in for a month. RuneScape's, you know, this is the best time to play RuneScape this time of year.
Yeah, well, I just thought I might like the cape. And
the cape's nice. The cape's nice.
And, but I'm a sucker for a pet anyway, so, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It kind of looked nice.
But it's definitely that bank bundle, the new bank bundle that people are going to be going for, I think. Just the question of, you know, having three new presets available is fun. So.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Let's run through the Vorkath stuff here in preview, and we'll of course have the full PVM angle on that next week when the boss and quest launches. And you know, it's another boss that's locked behind a quest, just like the Necromancy stuff. You need new foundations, Murder on the Border, Unwelcome Guests, Dead and Buried, and Ancient Awakening, as well as 60 Necromancy, 50 Construction, and 10 Slayer, as well as a Tier 1 Grove Cavern and a Tier 1 Botanist Bench built to be able to do this quest. And my sense is with this that the quest is going to be a quest like the Alpha Omega quest that we had in Necromancy. I think that's probably the way they're going to go with this, if I have to be honest, next week. So,
yeah, I thought it would be a lot for it to be a full-blown quest and a boss in the same week. So, you're probably right. Like, you know, go kill... What was it? Hormood?
Vorkath.
Well, no, but I was saying before,
oh,
right?
Like, oh, yeah. Alpha Omega was Raziel.
Oh, that was Raziel. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So... there's also a new cinematic trailer up with Vorkath and Zemmerigal involved in it. And, you know, as with these cinematic trailers go, as of late, they've always hit them out of the park with that. And I think the reason that we see this, and we definitely see this now, is that this boss comes in three flavors. You got your story mode, which you're going to fight during the quest, which gives everybody a taste of the boss. You have normal mode, and then you have hard mode. And they went over this a bit in the live stream, and the way it's going to kind of break down is that normal mode will have some of the defenses dropped, whereas hard mode, no, you got to face all the mechanics, all the defenses that are going to be in place with that. So that's how they kind of break up the line between normal and hard mode with Vorkath. So, I'm aiming to at least get a normal mode kill in next week. We'll see how hard mode goes to see if that's something that is soloable at my level or if I need to get a group with it. Are you gonna? I assume you're gonna head for probably story mode ish.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I just had to ask.
I'm just curious to see: are we gonna kill Zamarigal? And if so, we're starting to run out of Majorat. I mean, we've got him ascending to godhood. We're knocking him off left and right. Like, it's like I'm reaching.
Yeah,
many
it's a
of
question
left.
Of what happens with Zamarigal after this. I think.
Yeah.
And where does that lead? You know, for the next story, because that's kind of been something that's just been, you know, kind of the carrot following us along as we head on through the boss fight for that. So it breaks down. The first one is the siege phase, and they say this phase sees you facing off against hordes of the undead as they advance on the walls of your fort. And it's not necessarily a case of just smashing through them, though, because they're emerging from three places of power. You can choose to simply cut a path through the undead and head straight to Zamarigal and Vorkath if you like, or you can take the extra time to smash up the two other places of power, and this will remove some of the special attacks from the subsequent boss fight. So this is, again, kind of like choose your own mechanic like you have at the Archglacier.
Yeah, I bet they're, like, you know, attacking you the whole time, though, right? Like, the Zamarigal and Vorkath are...
Oh, probably.
Yeah, so, I mean...
But in story mode, you'll smash all the places of power with the help of the Raptor. In normal mode, however, you can choose to skip them for quicker attempts at the boss or smash one or both places of power for an easier boss fight. Hard mode will skip the siege phase entirely, and you'll go straight into the boss battle with Vorkath. No new mechanics are added, but you don't have the option to take any away by disrupting the places of power. So this is yet another take on how do we, you know, make bosses attainable to the highest number of people, I think.
I'm going to have to see how this plays out. It's a little bit more than what we had with Arc Glacier, but I don't know. I'm afraid, like, destroying the place of power to get rid of the mechanic. I mean, what if it's all going off all at the same time? Like, do you even get a chance to cancel the mechanics? You know what I mean? Like, it's... We'll have to see. I'm kind of curious now.
And that's one of the always weird things about RuneScape bosses, is that you can skip mechanics if you have enough DPS. And that's kind of what Mod Doom said on this week's live stream, is that you're going to be able to, you know, there's going to be mechanics you'll be able to skip if you can just out DPS them. So that's, again, leaning into RS, something you'd never find in another MMO.
Yeah, and it's definitely not some... Well, of course I don't like it. I can't hit hard for the life of me. I've been working on some dummies on DXP, and I'm like, oh, 5,300 max hit. Awesome. Yeah, I'm a tough guy. Cool. Yep. Way to go.
What level armor was that with, and weapon?
90. Armor...
Were you overloaded?
No.
Okay, well, there you go. There you go. You got to be overloaded to do that sort of thing. You also, you know, in fact, just got to, you know, play a game of min-maxing. That's what it honestly comes down to.
Yeah, no, I wasn't running any auras or any, I mean, anything. I might not even have the right armor on. I might have just had a staff.
Okay, improve. Well, there you go. That's why then. Then we get into the next interesting bit. And I said in chat this week that I wasn't interested in this boss before this week. Like, my intention with Vorkath was to do the quest, go get a kill on normal mode, and try and get a kill on hard mode and call it a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really interested in it. And my goal with PVM going forward was going to be to do the odd Reaper task, the odd raid, and finish out my Razgul kill log and call it a day with it, right? Because that's just kind of where I feel like I'm at right now. But this boss has actually got me interested because of the way they're going to be doing loot with it, in that the loot won't drop to the floor. It won't drop to a chest. Instead, every time you complete a boss fight, it awards a chest based on the difficulty setting of story, normal, or hard. And normal and hard contain any of the rewards that are going to be listed below, with hards having superior drop rates. The story mode will not give the spikes for the armor or the codex mentioned, but if you're aiming to get your hands on upgraded armor, you can do it with normal mode. And the idea is that you can then stack these chests and open them like you would do a clue scroll opening.
Hmm.
Which is neat, I think.
Yeah.
And there's also this. If you want to optimize your luck bonus, it's taken into account when opening the chest. There is no need to switch to a
raid as the boss dies.
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness.
And
that's so stupid,
right,
anyway.
And that's what got me thinking, oh, Vorkath is going to be interesting and different than anything else we had before. I definitely, you know, probably want to sink 48 hours into it over that first week. Just reading that sentence right there.
Mm-hmm.
I had the same reaction you did. Like, up until this point in the news post, I was like, okay, I'm not really that interested, but ooh, now I am. And then the next heading brought me in all the way. New ranged armor. New Dragonhide ranged armors at tier 75, 90, and 92. So that the way it's going to work is that you can use the spikes that you get from the boss to upgrade it to tier 90, and then you can boost it up to tier 92 using the same materials needed to make elite Serenic armor, ancient scales, algorithm thread, and the chaotic spike for the chest, and Praiselic essence.
And I wonder what sets it apart then.
Okay,
from
that's
92 Serenic.
Okay, so the tier 75 set is a tank armor set, right? Mm. And the interesting bit about that is that the main ranged tank armor sets that people are going to be thinking of are Carl's at 70 and Port's at 85, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is something else called Second Age at, you know, tier 80, but let's realize that it's Second Age Clue. We know how rare that is, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like probably tier 75 is the right spot, because it's just that stepping stone from Barrows up to something else, and it's going to be craftable with this undead Dragonhide.
Okay.
So that's neat. But the tier 90 and tier 92 come with a set effect. The set bonus for wearing one piece is that channeling rapid fire generates 0.2 for Dracolich and 0.5 for Elite Dracolich. Adrenaline every 0.6 seconds. And as you wear more pieces, that goes up. So that's another way for ranged to recover adrenaline. And, you know, ranged actually needs that because ranged's adrenaline builder is the Hydrix Bolts. But if you're using a bow, you don't get that. So that's a sad day. If you're wearing three or more pieces while wielding a bow, channeling rapid fire for its full duration grants Dracolich infusion for 3 seconds, increasing your chance to critically strike with ranged attacks by 20% for Dracolich and 40% for Elite Dracolich. The four-piece set bonus is increases the duration of Dracolich infusion by 1.8 seconds, and the five-piece does it for another 1.8 seconds. So you're looking at 6.6 seconds there for the entire thing if you're using the full five-piece set.
So that's interesting. So where that focuses on
bows and rapid fire.
And one ability versus the 92 Serenic, that's just an overall buff.
Right.
Right, like just a...
And we'll get to that, because I don't know that that's enough to bring bolts back into the sun. But imagine yourself with this armor set. You, in effect, create a window where after you rapid fire, you get off a snapshot and then fire off, you know, a dark bow spec or two. Holy crap, you're going to be hitting hard there.
Mm-hmm.
And now, keep in mind, we're capped at 12k right now, but assuming these crit changes that are on the beta go in and bring that up to 30k, now we're talking. Now we're talking to the point where range is going to be having huge spike damage attacks, just like Necromancy does with Finger of Death and Volley of Souls. So that's the kind of synergies that are being built here, and I think it's interesting to take note of with that. And it's specifically catering towards people who are using a bow. Obviously, people who are using Bow of the Last Guardians are going to love this, but I think there's also a case to be made for people who are, you know, just running around with the Saren God Bow like I do. So that got me interested. And then they're also going to be adding set effects to Serenic and Elite Serenic armor for crossbow users, so that the two-piece set is that while wielding a crossbow, attacks have a 6% and 12% respectively for Serenic and Elite Serenic to trigger the effect of Dragonstone Bolts, which, I mean, let's be honest at that point, that's just going to be a flat damage increase for anybody using bolts. So I see the Dragonstone one being used maybe if you have them floating around for Slayer, as an example, if you want to use range for Slayer, or if you wanted to go and, you know, just do some low-stakes bossing at something like God Wars Dungeon 2. That's where I see that being used. The three-piece one is that while wielding a crossbow, attacks have a 6 to 12% chance again, respectively, to trigger the enhanced effects of either Dragonstone, Onyx, or Hydrix Bolts. So, that's when we start really talking leaning into the Hydrix Bolt effect. I don't necessarily know where Onyx Bolts are used. I know I used them once when I was trying to learn Raksha, and that was about it. I think that's the only time I used them. I might have took them to some of the other boss runs I was doing very early on, but definitely the main story there is the Hydrix Bolts for that.
Yeah, and I can't imagine, though, just how much Hydrix Bolts are. They gotta be so expensive.
Yeah, and it's an interesting situation because last time I looked, the tier 92 crossbow, the Blights, those were down to under 200 mil a piece for tier 92 crossbows. So if you're looking to get into crossbow range, now is a good time. But we need to be 100% honest that the true story at the end of the day is still Bow of the Last Guardian. So we'll have to wait and see where all this lands. I feel like the stronger set is going to be on the Dracolich rather than on the Serenic, because just of how ranged is sitting right now. But, of course, that opens the door to having everything change with the beta, too, I think, when that arrives in terms of, you know, where bows and crossbows and all that land.
Yeah, and I've typically always, if I did ranged, I always preferred a bow over the crossbows, or especially the dual-wield crossbows. But
yeah.
And I like the extra distance you get with a bow.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when we, you know, looking at Dragonstone, I feel like that's one of the ones that's probably not used that much. And I don't know. I don't know why, because, you know, we got copious amounts of Dragonstone in game now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's some question Thaxi and I were theory crafting on this, and we'll look more into this next week. But with this and, you know, potential things on the beta, we're at a point where Dragonstone bolts could be potentially outdoing diamond bolts. So, onyx bolts will still be ahead by just a bit, but they do apply that secondary hit splat for the dragon fire, which means that you can get poison off of that too, which leads into ranged. So there's still lots of ifs around this, and I don't know.
Okay, so then you could start doing poison stuff, because you could you use weapon poison? Would that work also?
That's always how we made range sing before Bow of the Last Guardian. It came down to poison and just getting in as many hits as you could to make those poison stacks starting to stack up, and that's why crossbows took such a big hit when the arrows, God arrows, came out combined with Bow of the Last Guardians, because now you can do the whole poison thing with the Bic arrows on bosses that are big, like Ambassador and Hard Mode Carrot Pack, amongst other things. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But everybody was expecting the fourth Conjure. No. It's a new incantation called Lord of Bones, which when you use it, it will empower your Skeletal Conjure to tear through your enemy's armor when attacking, which makes them more vulnerable to your attacks, not only from yourself, but from your whole team. The thing with this is that if you already have, and I'm assuming this is how it works with accuracy, if you already have 100% accuracy, I don't know that you're going to be able to use this effectively for this, unless there's something I'm missing in terms of how damage is affected based on armor value.
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, okay, so what is going to be more, you know, more based on armor and defense than accuracy, right?
Yeah.
Because it used to be accuracy was everything.
Yeah,
it was
a convoluted system that necromancy, you know, needed to fix.
Yeah, so I'm kind of perplexed with that too. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see
where you use it.
Wait and see where this lands on this right now, because I mean, there's also a world where armor, you know, should just make you do more damage, right? Like if you lower someone's armor value, it should make you do.
Well, that's how I would take it, yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll have, don't take anything we say this week, you know, as for granted. We'll have a full
know what we're talking about. We'll take it seriously.
We'll have a full analysis of this next week on the show after we get our hands on it. But what's also coming is the Necromancy Nexus, which comes in two flavors. There's the Death Warden Nexus, which can be crafted using necromancy materials and will be available to everybody when the game update launches. And then there's Zamarigal's Nexus, which is obtained when you kill the boss 100 times in normal or hard mode. And what this does is this stores necromancy runes and ectoplasm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's nice, because that was one thing, like, I didn't end up using a lot of incantations because I didn't have the inventory space a lot of times.
Yeah, because you're dealing with five inventory slots for runes and ectoplasm. So, the tier 81 increases the value or the level of your bone shield by 15. So, if you're level 120 necromancy, greater bone shield gives you 60 right now. What this does is it adds 15 to it, so now it's like tier 75. And, you know, for anybody who's done PVM before, we'll know that, you know, tier 80, tier 90 shield is kind of the sweet spot most of the time. You get by with tier 80, tier 85. So 75 will get you most of the way there if you already have this. So this is going to be a really nice quality of life update, just for people who have been using Bone Shield.
Yeah.
So I'm there for that. There's also the Vorky boss pet, of course, a little dragon, of course, that people are going to get when they kill Vorkath an obscene number of times. So that. We also have the Vorkath hunt for the Guard and Lantern event, which, again, you know, they're always hitting it out of the park with these cosmetics, I have to say. Mm-hmm. And these ones almost look as though they're just, you know, part of your your tier 90 power and tank armor.
Mm-hmm.
So they just lean so nicely into that. And I'm going to have to find a way, and this is the only issue I have with this, I'm going to have to find a way to play enough while this is happening, because Leagues is also happening, to get this cosmetic override on my main.
Got to put in some time, Shane. Got to get the grind in.
Yeah. So this one runs from the 20th until December 3rd, and it follows the same event system as the Golden Party Hat and Golden Cape, where you need to collect 8 shards, and there's 12 tasks to choose from. You can get them by killing Vorkath and Zamarigal infinitely until all the shards have been collected. It can be completed during the Battle of Ford 4 and 3 quest, as well as in story, normal, and hard mode. So you could just, you know, in theory, camp the boss, because the first shard is given after one kill, and subsequent shards require 30 kills each.
Okay.
So that's a reason for you to maybe even, you know, continue on in story mode if you wanted
if it's doable,
this is another good thing with these things, is that rather than throwing it out the window to RNG, they're saying every 30 kills you're going to get a shard.
Yes, that, and that's nice.
And you can definitely do 150 Vorkath kills in 2 weeks, so you can get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Dead and Buried gives you one, so everybody's going to have that if you're able to kill Vorkath. Having an active Premier membership gives you one. Training, Gathering, Artisan, Combat, and Support skills have a chance to give you one. And again, we're seeing an easing up on the RNG, because players will be guaranteed these shards after 3 hours of training in each particular skill, but have a high chance to obtain them beforehand. So again, there, you're looking at 12 hours max.
I'm good
for that.
Too. Yeah.
That's good.
Yep.
Treasure trails, guaranteed after either 90 easy, 45 medium, 30 hard, 23 elite, or 18 master steps, not clues, or any combination of the above. Earning Marks of the War, players will be guaranteed this shard at 2,500 Marks of War, which is really only 2 raid loot days and some extra bosses along the side. So that's going to be an easy one to get. You can buy one for 15 mil or 5,000 protean items. Another one comes from Wilderness Flash Events that'll be guaranteed at 15. And a new way, earning rune score. Players will be guaranteed this shard at 200 rune score, but have a chance to obtain it beforehand. And if you have over 31,000 rune score, you will earn this shard by earning any rune score.
Nice. Okay.
There's probably
a bunch of easy rune scores I could grab, like, real easy that I just haven't done.
I love how the RNG has been taken out of this.
Yes.
That's the thing we have to write home about here with this one. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep, absolutely.
That's so good. So good. Buffs, and you remember Parnassius said, hey, let's get our list together and see what we got. Infinite Porters guarantees a porter effect, which transports your item to the bank. So kind of like we saw with Golden Cape.
Yeah.
And a passive regen buff where your life points, prayer points, summoning points will regenerate by 10% every 6 seconds when you're outside of combat.
It's cool.
I think the biggest one. The porter one there is so neat and good to have. They're really making the case for, you know, for people to come back and play if they were, you know, discouraged by one or two things in the last month and a bit or so, weren't they? That shall not be named.
Yes.
So
yeah, and even bigger than that, I think if I've learned anything from this, it to me it kind of lowered the barrier between the games, and I feel like there's a much more of a flow back and forth, an acceptance of I like this for this reason, I like that for that reason, and it's all good. You just kind of go in between, you know what I mean? Like you can, I feel like that was the good result of whatever the hell happened.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like there's a saying that, you know, one, action doesn't indicate a trend. Two, definitely doesn't. And then, you know, once you get to three, you can start thinking, okay, maybe something has changed here. But with this, the way the previous weeks have gone too, with the behind the scenes and just everything kind of lining up at the end of the year here, you think that there has been some sort of awakening inside that has just kind of changed the way these events are brought forward? Because, you know, these would be beacons for monetization in another world, right? Specifically this, this cosmetic event.
Yeah. And taking it out, not that they had anything that they could have replaced or put in anyway, but, you know, specifically not saying anything with Premier Club about that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it, and I'm wondering when we start looking at this, when you look at Premier Club, when you look at this, I'm wondering if that so-called leak about the logout timer was something that was actually meant to be, or if that was kind of just, you know, testing the waters a bit, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not sure. That's one of them that, you know, we talked about, and I can kind of see it either way, but I'm glad that it's just for everyone.
Yeah,
I never thought it. I mean, I didn't think it was super offensive, but
no, but I mean, like we talked about before, it's all about setting the table, so to speak, and making sure
perception
that you're not, in effect, shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
So. Yep. All right. I believe that's pretty much it. RuneScape wise, we'll be throwing ourselves into Vorkath next week, amongst other things. But there's this thing called double XP going on, and we do have a boatload of double XP achievements. And I do kind of wish we had somebody else here to help us read these. But we'll get through it. So starting off, we have Cyan Panera with 99 smithing, Forex with 99 woodcutting, Arcane with 120 smithing, Chulbura with 120 slayer, Cyan Panera again with 99 mining, Vanitic with 120 herb lore, XOX Scotty XOX with 120 divination, Chulbura 2 with 120 farming, Duke Juker with 120 agility, Hephaestio 5 with 99 runecrafting, Luke Totodile with 120 hunter, Todio 22 with 99 divination, XOX Scotty XOX with 120 crafting, and Brappa with 120 necromancy, and Dom the Mexican with 99 slayer. And these took part anywhere from the 15th to the 12th.
All right, and continuing on, we have Heathcliff with 120 fishing on the 12th. We have Lol Monster with 99 attack. We have Pony Picker with 120 fishing. We have Pyatt with 120 rune crafting. Nice. We have Robbie with 200 mil hunter. Oh, Robbie. Ouch. Nice job. We have XO Scotty XO with 120 fire making. And then we have Cyan Pinier.
Yeah, that's how I'd say that. Pinier.
With 99 attack, and that is on the 11th. We have Arendelle 120 with 120 definition. there's a lot of these guys. There's a lot of these. Then we have Elven Badass with 99 divination. We have LOL Monster again with 99 constitution. We have, they also got 99 strength. We have Robosaur Rex with 120 runecrafting. Then we have Shadow Lead with 120 Slayer. We have Tadio with 22 with 99 cooking. Charbara 2 with 120 Herbler on the 10th. And then Vanik.
Yeah, that's how I'd say that. Vanik, something like that.
With 120 Dungeoneering, and then Hephaestus 05, with 99 Dungeoneering on the 9th, and Lady Claw with 120 ranged on the 9th. Way to go, everybody.
Nicely done, everyone. Nicely done. All right, and with that, I think we can move on to our pick of the week. What do you got for us here?
So I have a pick of the week, and this one kind of goes back to the Halloween time, so it's a little late, but I picked up a cool little game on a Steam Halloween sale called Evil West, and this game is kind of quirky, and it's just fun. You got it. So think Red Dead meets Dead Island with a heaping helping of Borderlands comedy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of got the Borderlands
and kind the of undead. Riff.
Yeah. And then you have, you know, And in this particular case, you're fighting, you know, vampires or whatever in the Old West. But it's a lot of fun. it's got a nice little story. It's just, you know, alternate kind of history with vampires.
Where is it supposed to be set with that, dare I ask?
It looks like American, you know, typical American West.
Okay.
I'm just waiting. I have a feeling, I haven't seen it yet, but I have a feeling we're going to, you know, maybe I'll hear about Lincoln, the vampire slayer, or, you know, something like that. Like, we'll see. I don't know. But,
okay.
Yeah, but so far the story has just been really fun. It's been kind of a beat 'em up and shoot 'em up.
So kind of like just to summarize it then, kind of like a Halloween Red Dead, but with a bit of comedy to it, I guess you could say then. That's how you'd summarize it. Interesting. Yep. I'd never heard of this before. And it's and from the looks of it, it's almost AAA game price here, $69.99 Canadian. I don't know how much it was for you.
It was $25. I got it on sale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, and it's also... Okay, and it came out last November. Okay, so that kind of makes sense then, in terms of why we haven't heard of it too much and why it's on sale, or was on sale for that, but... Yeah, and I think you're probably running up to the expiry now of times when games like this are going to be acceptable, given we're headed into the Christmas season and whatnot, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, All right, good. Good time to kind of just wrap up on these kind of Halloweenish picks of the week then. That's Evil West, available on Steam. Link is in the show notes at update.show. All right. People have been probably wondering, what have we been up to on RS? And, you know, there's that thing called leagues. People are wondering, what's a league? What's a league? What's a league, right?
A league?
It's old school's temporary game mode done in a way where all you do You log into your old school account and choose the League's world, and you're prompted to create a new character. And you get to be region locked. You have a certain number of relics that you're able to unlock based on tasks that you do. So for anybody who loves hunting achievements, Leagues is the game mode for you. They're doing Trailblazer Reloaded this time, which is a revamp of Trailblazer. So I haven't been on RS3 much in the last day and a half since this came out for that specific reason. So if you want to hear the full story of what Leagues is about, that's where I say go listen to the old school RuneScape update that's available every Sunday on the same website where you get this show, update.show/OS or youtube.com/OSRS update. Sirion and I do that each and every week talking about what we've been doing. I won't go too much else into it there, but I'll just say that it's a good fun time, and if you want to hear more about it, that's what the old school version of the podcast is about. But in addition to that, I went back to the necromancy stand. I didn't have any push to train anything double XP wise this time, so I'm not.
I mean, sometimes that happens.
Yeah. So I've just been, you know, doing some necromancy on the side, and I went back to Raziel twice too, because, like I said, okay, my goal is to complete the log there, since I'm only a top and an offhand away.
Well, so. Yeah, I will not be surprised if you come back, you know, in a week, and
the thing that made me feel really good about Raziel this week is that for the first time since necromancy was changed and the values were brought down for the skill,
mm-hmm,
I landed under a minute 30 for kill time.
Okay, so
before nerf, I was in around, you know, the 105 to 115 range, and this one was 127. So it's only about 12 seconds longer than previous kill time. So I'll take that. And I think I know what I did in that rotation. So it's just a matter of refining it down and, you know, working another couple abilities in, and we'll be golden there. So
nice.
That made me feel really good. And the one thing Raziel has really done as a boss is that it shows me, and people might not like this, I don't like it, it shows me that RuneScape combat isn't necessarily going to be about stopping mechanics or doing things to prevent those mechanics from happening aside from dishing out raw DPS. And that's one of the things that Raids is really good at, is that you can work around mechanics and you have to do those mechanics to be successful with the fight. Whereas other things are either a pure DPS check to skip mechanics or to do the most DPS in the right amount of time, you have to do a tick-perfect rotation, which in effect for some bosses, some combat types, makes RuneScape like playing something like those Dance Dance Revolution games. And I'm not a fan of that. And that's what Raziel has really shown me, that RuneScape combat can be like. And like I said, some people might disagree with that. They might not like it. But that for me is kind of the reason I was feeling before this Warcath announcement that, okay, maybe I just want to, you know, go back to the occasional Reaper and raid after I complete Raziel's log. That's kind of what I was thinking before this Warcath announcement. But we'll have to wait and see how the boss plays, because there's just certain bosses that I absolutely don't like in terms of how they do them. You know, one of the key examples being Raksha, being, you know, like a movement and prayer switching fiesta. So we'll have to wait and see how Raziel lands on that. But it's safe to say I have my own preferred flavors of RuneScape PVM. But what have you been up to?
For double XP, I've been doing a couple things. So mostly woodcutting. But I also have been burning my combat dummies, because when else am I going to
ever do it, right?
So, yeah. Like, I'm like, ah, let's burn them up. I still have two combat skills to hit. I got three now to get back up to 120. So, but honestly, I kind of went back to magic.
Magic? Oh, yeah. You mean Magic the Skill. I thought you meant like Magic the Gathering.
No. Magic, like my, you know, like I think Necromancy was a lot of fun. But I think when it comes to combat, I'm very comfortable with Magic. I don't know if it's because I had to work so hard for the setup that I have.
Right. Cause you have,
I'm not bossing and stuff. Right. I just, you know, if I don't like combat, so if I do it, I want to do like Slayer.
You know, right. And this goes back to our combat discussion about like, what do they need to do, to the other styles to give them the necromancy treatment. And one of those things that comes to my mind is that they need to make it so that, you know, missing abilities and whatnot isn't punishing, and you don't need 4-tick auto-attacking to be proficient at Magic.
Yeah. I don't know. I just... It's comfortable, and it's one of the, you know, I mean, it's one of the few things that I have good stuff.
Right.
I don't have the weapon, but I got the armor.
And that's what I always say. You should always use the combat style that you have the highest level equipment in.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
that makes sense. Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. And like I said, you know, I still like Necromancy. It's still fun. But you know, just doing what I'm doing with the dummies and all that. Yeah, I prefer the Magic.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yep, that's been it.
Alrighty. Well, we'll be back next week for Vorkath, Vorkath Hunt event. Bears will be joining us. We'll be doing a Thanksgiving edition of RSBNB update. We did clear that this week after last year. The fun story involved in that. I don't know if we ever told that. I'll leave that up to you if you ever want to tell that at some point.
I don't remember.
What happened?
I don't remember anything. I don't remember if I ever told the story. I plead the fifth.
And on that note, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. If you guys want the podcast delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. We're on Apple, Google, Pocket Cast, Spotify, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe. We're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. That's where we share the video versions of the shows. And of course, if you like what you see there, if you like us, if you want more RSBNB Update, like and subscribe. Greatly helps the channel out, but nonetheless, we will be back next week for Vorkath as we head into the last week of November. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.